Well, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, we read in verse 14, middle of the verse, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the reading of thy word, and even for what we have read here in this verse. We pray that thou would show us that it's not just an account in history, but it tells us what can happen even in this gospel mission. Oh, Lord, make the word of God relevant. Lord, make it authoritative even this morning. May Christ be uplifted, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen. As I've been thinking about the mission, my prayer can be summed up really, in the meetings, is that we would be able to say, in the words that I've just read from verse 14 of Mark 1, Jesus came. Jesus came. When you go down to verse 21, it says that he, that's Christ, entered into the synagogue and taught. And it's my prayer that at the end of the mission, we'll be able to look back over these six-night meetings and say, you know what happened? Jesus Christ came to those meetings. And he taught us. Oh, to be able to say that after the meetings are over. That Jesus Christ came. He came to the synagogue. Now, don't mix up the temple with the synagogue. There was one temple in Jerusalem. That's where, in those days, there were sacrifices offered. There was the main tabernacle with the various altar of incense. There was the Ark of the Covenant. But there were many, many synagogues. It simply means a place of gathering. Very similar to this meeting house we're in today. It's where the Jews of that day would get in their local area. Temple in Jerusalem, there where Mount Moriah was called in the Old Testament, the hill. But synagogues were all over, some of them in Jerusalem, some of them other places. When Jews met on the Sabbath day, they would have a building and they would meet together to sing the Psalms, to have their chants of some of the verses. They tell us they would have a sort of a chant of them, and they would read prayers or say prayers, and they would listen to the Old Testament read and someone speak and seek to explain it. In other words, it's very like our services today. So the Savior entered into the synagogue service on the Sabbath day, and he taught. Just as we're gathered today around his words. Well, I pray at the end of the mission we'll say, Jesus came to Grace Free Presbyterian Congregation as we met for the mission. Now, what will happen? What will happen if the Lord Jesus Christ comes? That's what I want to talk about. It'll be similar things that happened in this chapter. If the Lord Jesus Christ condescends to come into our services and teach and preach the gospel, then similar things will happen. Now, maybe someone's saying, hold on, Mr. Johnson. Jesus Christ in Mark 1 was in his physical body. And he literally, physically came, because he was God and man. And he came in, and the ruler of the synagogue asked him if he would speak. So, he's not in the world anymore physically. He died. He rose again. He ascended. He's in glory. How can Jesus Christ come and preach the gospel in our meetings? Well, that might be a question in your mind at the moment. So, we'll answer it. He can. He can. Hold your finger there and we'll come back to it, and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Turn over to the letter of Ephesians. Now, this is quite a number of years later. Christ has died, risen, ascended. The apostles have gone out. Saul, who hated the gospel, has been converted, become the great apostle Paul. He went to a city called Ephesus, and he preached the gospel. And there were Gentiles who were converted out of their immoral lifestyle. There were Jews who were very religious people, but they weren't saved. They didn't know the Lord. But Jew and Gentile had been converted. And in chapter 2 of Ephesians, in verse 14, it says, "For he," that's Christ, "is our peace. He's made us both one," that's Jew and Gentile. But I want you to notice verse 17, it's speaking about Christ. Speaking about Jesus Christ. Look, and this is Jesus Christ, "came and preached peace unto you," which were far off, those who were near, Jew and Gentile. Jesus Christ came and preached peace unto you. Paul was writing to people who had been converted by the power of the gospel through his preaching. And Paul writes and he says, "Remember how Jesus Christ came and preached the gospel to you." Now, did Christ ever at any time literally walk the streets of Ephesus? No. Did Jesus Christ in his physical body come to Ephesus and preach to them? No. But what does the verse mean? It means that when Paul spoke to men and women, young people too would expect, the Lord Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit spoke through the words that Paul uttered and took Paul's words and spoke them right into the hearts of those people. That's how Christ came and preached to them. That's how he preached. He preached to these people through the Spirit. Now, who were these people? You see in verse 1 of the chapter, and these are Christians now, but he said, "Remember that ye were dead." Now, they weren't intellectually dead and they weren't physically dead. They were spiritually dead because we're born dead. That confuses people who don't know the Lord. We're born dead. What do we mean? Because Adam fell in the garden. We don't know God. Our mind doesn't know God now. We were created to know God. Our mind, our emotions, we don't love God. Our will doesn't obey God. Spiritually, we're dead. And he describes it here. Because ye walked in verse 2. Ye walked. Isn't it amazing here what he says about us? Before we're saved, in time past ye walked, according as society dictated the course of this word. Now watch this. According to the prince of the power of the air. That's every one of us. Now, I'm not saying everybody's demon possessed, but every one of us before we come to Christ. Can you see it there? And of course that's Satan, the prince of the power of the air. We walk as society dictated, as Satan directed, as self-desired, the flesh. See, we were the children of disobedience, among whom we had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh. Sorry, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. But not only were we depraved through sin and deluded and disobedient and darkened, but you know what it says there? We were doomed. Children of wrath. That's what every single person is. If you're a Christian here this morning of trusted Christ, that's what you were. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's what you still are. Doomed. Doomed. But Paul is saying to those who have trusted in Christ, you know why? You're now a believer and you're no longer under the wrath of God. It's because Jesus Christ came and preached peace to you through his servants. And in verse 5 it says, but he quickened you, he made you alive, you were dead. It's not because of anything about us. Christians no different than anybody else. Except that the Lord Jesus Christ has come and spoken to our souls and made us alive. That's what happened here. Oh, and that's what we long to see in the mission. We long, as Dr. McRae preaches, that it'll not just be his words, but that the Lord Jesus Christ would be pleased by his Holy Spirit to take the words that are uttered, whether in the singing, in the preaching of his word, and will force them into the hearts of men and women, and they'll be saved because we're doomed. I thought again, because I've been looking around at posters and so on, because we put ours up. And in the town, I remember a few years ago going through Tesco roundabout, and there was a fun fair. And so all along there you saw adverts, fun fair, and when you got near the Tesco's across, there was a great fun fair. And you couldn't help as you're driving, that there was one of the thrill rides. And you know what it was said on it? The road to hell. I didn't go in to see what type of ride it was, whether it was a Big Dipper or whatever. I'm too old to get on these things that would spin round. But that's the name they give it. Thought, how sad. Because as I spoke last Sunday night, there are religious people in Newton Ards who feel, well, I'm a very good person, I don't do this, and I'm not like the people Chris works with, drug addicts, so therefore I'm all right for it. No. Moral, immoral, religious, irreligious, everyone needs to be saved. Because every one of us without Christ are on the road to hell. But Jesus came and preached the gospel. Let's go back to Mark. Because in Mark 1, you have the story there where Christ in his flesh came. And it's interesting. In verse 21, he comes to this city called Capernaum. Well, we'd call it a town today. It wasn't big as we think of cities today, but it was the largest in the area of Galilee. And interesting, I thought about this. Capernaum was the main city or town in that region. That's why the Lord made it his headquarters. And it was on the seashore. I mentioned Ephesus. Ephesus was the main town in that region where it was located. And it was located on the seashore. And then I thought of Newton Ards. And we're the main town in this area. We're the main town in this area. And we're by Strangford Lough. But the similarities don't stop there. And I thought to myself, if Jesus came preaching the gospel in Galilee, and specifically in the town of Capernaum, and he came through the Apostle Paul to the city of Ephesus and preached the gospel, thank God he can come still today to the town of Newton Ards and preach the gospel through his servant. He can still do it. What will happen? What will happen if the Lord Jesus Christ comes in an unusual way? Now, we believe every time God's people meet, he's there, we're two or three, but we're praying he'll come in a special way as he did to Ephesus, as he did in Capernaum in Mark 1. What will happen? Three things very quickly. I'll tell you what will happen. We will hear an authoritative word. We will hear an authoritative word. Look down at verse 21. He entered into the synagogue, verse 22. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Authority. If the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased to move by his Spirit as the word of God is preached, men and women will hear the word of God and they'll hear it as an authoritative word. You see, they tell us that what the scribes used to do in the services, they sat as they spoke, and they would read a portion from the Old Testament, and then they'd say, well, I think Rabbi Ben so-and-so thinks this about that, and then, but then I read Rabbi so-and-so, and he thinks this about it, and, so-and-so thinks this, and now we ought to look at, no wonder the people were bored stiff. No wonder it says here when the Lord Jesus Christ went in, he preached with authority. He preached with authority. And the people were astonished. He said, this is what God's word says. And this is the truth. In verse 22, they were astonished. You know what that literally means? They were struck with a blow. It's as if somebody hit them. Have you ever heard a Christian testifying that said, I was sitting in the meeting, I wasn't really that interested, I just came along, but as the word of God was preached, it hit me. It hit me with a blow. And I was struck with it. That's what happens when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. It speaks in verse 22 about his doctrine. They were amazed at this doctrine. We've never heard anything like this before. Now, of course, the Lord was preaching what John the Baptist had preached, but in this synagogue, they were saying, this is new to us. What did he preach? Verse 14. the gospel. Repent. He told them, you need to repent. You need to repent of your sins. You need to turn around. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. You need to turn. He preached a direct message. And he preached it with authority. And the message came with force and with influence. And he went straight for their hearts. He used to say, like a gun barrel. It shot at them and it came with force. The word got a hold of them. Oh, that's what you long to see. Maybe you've heard testimonies like that, and maybe you could say it yourself. Oh, I heard the gospel maybe from a child. And I can testify to that because I was brought up in a Christian home. Now, I was still a child when I was saved, but I still remember as a young lad that Lord's Day when Pastor Willie Mullen told a story to the children in the morning service. I'd sat in many meetings. My father took meetings. Sometimes 3-4 times on a Sunday. Been at different meetings. But that morning, I'm the sinner. My parents are saved. Doesn't make me a Christian. And I was miserable all day and asked my mother, could I go back to church that night? Now, it wasn't because my mother didn't go to church at night. Don't misunderstand. My father would have been preaching different places. And it's not that I didn't want to hear my father either. It's getting more complicated as I explain it. But I wanted to go back and hear Willie Mullen. And waited behind and spoke to him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Ron, it's there. Will you call upon him? Oh, it's the word of God coming. The word of God coming. You see, Mr. McRae can come and he can preach the truth. But unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes with power upon the word, it'll not reach people. Not reach people. That's what we're saying. What will happen if Christ comes? We will hear the authoritative word. But number two, we will see an almighty work. We will see an almighty work, something that only the almighty Lord can do. What are we talking about? There was a man possessed with a demon. When you read some of the historians, there are some Jewish historians lived near that time. Josephus is one. It's a bit boring to read it, but it's interesting some points in it. And they say there were traveling exorcists who claimed to cast out demons and had all kinds of incantations and mix this potion and use these words and remind you of something like stuff goes on today and do this and do, you know, no. They had never seen a man stand up and cast a demon out of someone. And they knew a miracle had taken place. I said I'm not going to go into demon possession, but I do want to say this, something very interesting. Here in Capernaum, into the service, came a man who was dominated by a demon. I read from the book of Ephesians. We did a study in the book of Ephesians some years ago. You go home and read Acts 19. Do you know one of the characteristics of Ephesus, which was one of the major cities of that time, first century? It was characterized by mother goddess worship, Diana. It was characterized by seeking to exorcisms, sons of Sceva. It was characterized by occult, magic arts, curious arts. Remember when they were converted, they brought the books to burn them. And if you read history, it backs that up. Not that we needed that, but there's a few things in history that are interesting. Do you know what they said Ephesians was famous for? Ephesian letters. This will make it up to date. What were they? Men would get tattoos on their fingers with letters on their arms, squiggles and letters that were supposed to have magical power in them, and give the person who had the tattoo some type of occult power. Now, I'm not saying everybody gets a tattoo, by the way, is doing it for that reason today. Some are. fortune telling. It's up to date. Because even this morning, coming to church, nearly every junction I came to, on the traffic poles, which is illegal, by the way, in the road service. Some years ago, we were told to take down our posters for the children's missions. They said, you're not allowed to put posters up. It's on the traffic poles, which is illegal. Not allowed to put even election posters, I understand, so I'm told, on the actual traffic light pole, distract. I'm sure you've seen them, if you keep your eyes open when you're driving, all around our town. Visit from famous psychic on TV. And when I went down to Dundonald, past there on Friday, they're even all the way down to Dundonald this Thursday night, some psychic. What is that? It's occult. It's just what went on and associated with demonism. That's what it is. And yet I don't know how many will turn up at the Queen's Hall on Thursday night. But it's just the same attitude in people's hearts and society as was there in Capernaum with this man and was manifested in the city of Ephesus. The same thing. But thank God Jesus Christ came preaching in Capernaum, and he came preaching in Ephesus, and men and women were set free by the power of the gospel. And he can still do it today. Can still do it today in Newton Ours. That's what we're saying. I'm not saying everybody comes in as demon possessed, but yet I pointed out in Ephesians 2, the prince of the power of the air. 2 Corinthians 4, isn't it? The God of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And it needs a mighty work of God to save someone. Yes, whether it be a child, or whether it be an adult, a drug addict, or whatever, it's the same almighty work of God that's needed to convert a soul. And that work can be seen. Can be seen. Now, it can't be seen, God the Holy Spirit working in the meeting. As I preach now, I have no idea what the Holy Spirit, how he applies his word in a heart. And people can be converted in a meeting and maybe days after reveal it. And you don't know what God has done, because we're not there just to count heads. We want the genuine work of God. But true conversions will eventually be seen. I looked up that hymn again. I heard it sung, written by a mighty preacher, Oswald Smith, from Toronto. My late father talked about hearing him in Belfast. He came in the early 50s. Preacher when my father attended, Griffey Tour Street Baptist. I have many of his books, by the way. Great missionary statesman. Lived into his 90s. His son took over the church there in Toronto. But Oswald Smith was also a hymn writer. And I looked up the words. I just remembered some of the words from it. Then Jesus came. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills my heart with glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. One of the verses says that when Jesus came and set the captive free, not a wonderful one. So men today have found the Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came himself and dwelt within. Wonderful hymn, isn't it? Then Jesus came. S.B. Cook, many of us know him. He's been retired a number of years, one of our first ministers. He was converted when Oswald Smith held a mission in McQuiston Memorial Church. If you're from the Castlereagh Road, you'll know that area, in the early 1950s. He used to say how he went as a young lad to hear Oswald Smith during a mission. There was a young lad at the same meeting. I was speaking to him yesterday on the phone. A young Bill Woods, 12 years of age. He went forward to the inquiry room. He signed a decision card, but nobody really spoke to him or dealt with him. So he had a decision card that he accepted Christ, but he wasn't really saved. By the way, he told this in the church. It's on sermon audio. If you want to look up our sermon audio site, you can hear where I interviewed him a number of years ago. And Bill tells this. And I went back and listened to it again, though I knew the story. But 2 years later, he went along to Dr. Paisley's church, just a young lad that time, And a friend said, "You got to come and hear Ian Paisley." So he came along and he was startled the way Dr. Paisley preached. And it really took him. He said, "I have to come back again." And he came back. He was, 14 at that time he was, and he trusted Christ as a Savior. He went home. He had the family there in the home, and he never told anybody, didn't tell anybody that he had trusted Christ. And he was sitting at the dinner table, and this is the way he told it, as I typed it out, listen to it yourself. He said a few nights later, he was sitting at the dinner table, and none of the family were at that church. None of them went there. And he had not told anybody that he had been converted. And at the dinner table, with his brothers and all there, and a sister, mother, his mother turned and said, "Listen, everybody, Billy's got converted." Bill Wood says, "What? How did you know, Mum?" "I can see the difference. I can see the difference." Not amazing? You can see a work of God in conversion. How? By a changed life. By a changed life. Oh, that we would see at the end of this mission the mighty work of God and souls saved. Just a third one very quickly. Heard an authoritative word. They saw an almighty work and they felt an amazing wonder. Look at verse 27. They were all amazed. They were amazed. What is this? We've never heard authoritative words like this. What authority this man has to cast out demons. And they discussed this amazing wonder. You see that? They questioned among themselves. Can you see them talking in the town? What's all this about? What's happened? And they declared it out, for in verse 28, immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region. Right, it became the talk of the town. It became the talk of the town. And the news spread. Well, then what happened? Well, no doubt you've heard sermons in chapter 2. But just look at it as we come to the end of the sermon. Look what happened in chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. "And again he," that's Christ, "entered into Capernaum. And it was noised abroad. Crowds came to hear him when he came back sometime later. Many were gathered, and there was no room. The door was the house." This was a house this time. And look at the end of the verse. "He preached the word unto them." He's preaching again. You know what happened? People heard about it. They heard what had happened. They heard what had happened. People told how we heard an authoritative word. We saw an almighty work of God carried out. My, we're filled with an amazing wonder at what the Lord has done. And people heard about it. And there were four men, and they had a friend who was sick of the palsy. And they carried him, because he couldn't walk, sort of a bed-like thing, and they carried him, like a mattress, and they couldn't get him into where Christ was. So they took tide. Now, it wasn't a house like ours. Don't think of a gable like our house and a big high roof. No, it wasn't like that, flat. But they picked up some tiles, and they lowered their friend down to Christ. They were seeking to bring their friend to Christ. That's what happened. That's what happened. People were stirred up as a result of Christ preaching that Sabbath day in their service. The word of God got into their hearts and they told it round. And when Christ came back sometime later to the same town, he's in a house now, and crowds are rushing because they want to meet Christ. And here's this needy man is brought by his friends. His friends were concerned for him. And they not only invited him to come, they brought him. They brought him. And you know what happened when the Savior, his wonderful words. Verse 5, look at it. "When Jesus saw the man's faith," doesn't say that in your Bible. "When Jesus saw their faith." Isn't that amazing? The faith of these four friends who were concerned for the man. "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Forgiveness of sins is the main thing that people need. Oh yes, he did heal him, but he forgave the sins. Oh, isn't it wonderful When Christ comes, the difference. Christ preaching the gospel. Let's pray that friends will come in under the sound of the preaching, and that many will hear, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." But think of this story. Think of what happened when Christ came to the service. A man who I believe was a regular attender, but when you read the words, he didn't say he was a visitor to the synagogue, but he had never been saved, never been changed. But that day, that demonic man was healed. He was cured, set free, forgiven. And that encourages the Lord can save anybody. Anybody. May God help us to believe. Will you pray that God will save? Will you seek to come each night? I know it's a busy time, it's hard. But could you please seek to come as you can, seek to pray, seek to bring others, and tell others about the meetings.